I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, everybody, to this congregation. Especially, this is the time that we have for hearing the word of God. And I know that the time that we have is so limited, so I don't want to give much introduction. My name is Saju, John Matthew. Maybe you can call me Saju, no problem. And in fact, I came here first of all, because of Johnson Vargas, he's my brother-in-law. And of course, when I came here, I came to know that your pastor and me, we're good friends for a long, long time, even before my marriage. And, you know, I used to go to different places in Kerala. I was a street preacher. That I started my ministry as a street preacher. So in those days, you know, I used to go to different parts of Kerala along with young people and preach gospel. Staying in some places, we used to preach gospel in those days. One time I remember your pastor was joining us, and we used to go to different places and of course, preaching gospel to the people who were mostly Muslims in that area. But by God's grace, you know, we could win many people. And in many places, we visited those days. Now, I thank God because we have, we means not, I do have churches, but, you know, the churches were emerging. And when I visited those places later, I could see that many churches were emerging, and I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Today, when I come to you, again, I remember those good days, good old days. Sometimes, you know, I say good old days, right? Yeah, of course. Those were good old days, and I thank God for that. And, of course, we have Irene and Stanley here, and Stanley's father and me were classmates for journalism, and we stayed together, and even we were doing ministry together, and that also is an encouraging thing for me to worship the Lord with them. In fact, you know, I'm seeing Irene and also Sam and Jaren and Gina for after a long time, and the time that we spend here, it's really encouraging. And tomorrow we go back to New York, me and my wife Jessie. My wife Jessie is here. Can you just stand up and just, otherwise, you know, that's all. Yeah. And we go back to New York tomorrow, and on Thursday, we go back to India, and after 1 week, I go back to Africa. So most of my time I spend in Africa as a missionary, and God is doing wonderful things in Africa and also in India. I'm preaching gospel for the last 42 years, and I'm always preaching from the word of God. That's my foundation. And I truly believe that in these days, that's what we lack, because we have good preachers, but, you know, many times that becomes a performance rather than, you know, when you're performing, of course, you can enjoy the things, and that becomes an entertainment, but that doesn't transform people. But God has not called me as an entertainer. God has called me to preach the word, and I know that when I preach the word, that word penetrates into the lives of the people, and that transforms. Only the word can transform us. Only the word. Because this is the spiritual food. Okay? So this day also, I just want to preach from the word of God. I would like to read a small passage, because many of my sermons are very long sermons, but I don't want to tell all those things here. Some points I just want to tell. It's not exactly, I'm not preaching all the things that I want to preach, but the core things I'm not going to the different parts of the passages, but you know, concentrating on some parts. That's I would like to read a passage from John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Good, that's okay for this time. Maybe I will go to some more passages, maybe the coming passages. But here we see that Jesus is talking to the Jewish people who have believed in him, and he says, "If you abide in my word or continue in my word, you're truly my disciples." What does it mean? Now you are believers, but I want you to be disciples. There's a big difference between a believer and a disciple. So in the churches in these days, we can see these two groups, different groups. We have believers and we have disciples. And of course, a disciple is a believer. So we cannot say that the first people are inferior, nothing like that. It's only a beginning. We start our Christian journey, or the starting point is believing in Jesus. Without believing in Jesus, you cannot become a disciple. So that is very important. But the problem, many times we believe in Christ because of the facts we learn about Jesus. What kind of facts? It is historical facts and also spiritual facts. I'm not just saying that historical facts. Yeah, some people believe in Jesus because of the historical facts. They look at the life of Jesus and they see that Jesus was a good man, and even he was teaching people to love, and you know, a lot of things. And they consider Jesus as a good teacher or rabbi, or according to Indian way, a guru. And they accept Jesus. They are looking to Jesus for good teachings and things like that. It's good. But they're not born again. And believing in Jesus, as I told, it's just a beginning. And some people go beyond that. It is not only historical facts, the spiritual facts. The spiritual facts, they are seeing Jesus, they know the story of Jesus, and they see it with a spiritual eye. You're understanding Jesus as a person who died for your sins. He died on the cross, you believe it? And even you know that the death of Jesus is a ransom for our sins, and we believe it. Okay? So we call ourselves a believer. Sometimes when we see people, we say, "Are you a believer?" We ask the question, "Are you a believer?" "Yes." "What do you believe?" "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." "Very good." "And what else?" "Yes, I believe that Jesus died on a cross for the sins of mankind." That's also good. That's a fact. That's a spiritual fact. Because when you look at the life of Jesus, when you look at the cross, if you do not have your spiritual eyes open, you cannot know that Jesus died for your sins. Okay? So that is a spiritual understanding. And sometimes you say yes because, you know, beyond that, you believe that Jesus died on the cross and he is the Lord of the church, the head of the church, and he's coming back to take the saints back to heaven and things like that. You believe it. And if you say, and if you find somebody like this, then you say he's a believer. True? But I tell you, I can show you a better believer who believes everything in the Bible from cover to cover. And he believes that Jesus is the second personality in the Holy Trinity, and he came and he was born into this world through Virgin Mary, and he believes that he lived here for 33 years and then he died for the sins of mankind, and he believes that he has risen on the third day and he was ascended to heaven and he will be coming back to take his church. And he believes everything. And you want to take this man as a member of your church? No, don't take him, because I was telling about the devil. Because the devil believes everything. You get my point? The devil believes everything what we speak now. But he's not a believer. Why? Or how can we say that he's not a believer? Because the devil believes everything, but he is not obeying God, or he is not considering Jesus as the Lord. You get my point? So there are many believers in the church. Believers. True believers. But Jesus said to the people, when they believed in Jesus, Jesus said, "Oh, that's good, but I do not want you to continue just as believers. I want you to become my disciples." Okay? And how can you be a disciple? You can become a disciple only if you abide in my word. And when you abide in my word, you're becoming a disciple. And true disciple. Disciple means it's truly my disciples. If you abide in the word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, if you want to become a Christian, or if you want to become a disciple of Jesus, there's no other way. You need to abide in the word. What is abiding in the word? Abiding in the word means living in the word. You get my point? It's not just reading Bible. Yeah, sometimes we read Bible. And many Christians, they are reading Bible. And some people doesn't read Bible. That's also there. Some people doesn't read Bible for a long time. Maybe for months. I used to tell a story in Africa that a Christian couple, they called their pastor for a dinner in their house. And after the dinner, when the lady was taking back all the dishes and cutleries, she found a spoon is missing. And she was wondering what happened to the spoon. And somehow Satan started putting in her mind that maybe the pastor has stolen the spoon. But she was not ready to ask about it to the pastor. She kept it in her mind for almost 6 months. After 6 months, the pastor was calling this couple to a dinner in his house. And when she was there, she dared to ask the pastor, "Pastor, 6 months back you came to our house and I was serving you dinner. And you know, one spoon was missing. Sorry to ask, did you take it?" And the pastor said, "The spoon? Oh, you're looking for the spoon for the last 6 months?" "Yes, I was searching it for the last 6 months." "My daughter, you know what happened? I put that spoon in your Bible." What does it mean? For the last 6 months, she didn't open the Bible. Sometimes, you know, this is our case, you know. We are not opening the Bible for a long, long time. This is only a story. So I'm not saying that you are not reading Bible for 6 months. But maybe sometimes 6 weeks. 6 days at least, you know. Somebody was going to the church and asking his wife, "Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible?" on Sunday morning. And the wife was telling at him. And, you know, you just look at the place where you put your Bible last Sunday after the service. what does it mean? For one full week, he was not looking at the Bible, or, you know, this is, sometimes this happens anyway, even though six months is an exaggeration. This is not an exaggeration. Sometimes it happens. So we are some people are reading Bible every day. I appreciate that. And it is not just reading the Bible or even meditating the Bible. God says, Jesus says, you are believers now, but if you want to become like my disciples, you need to see that you are abiding or living in my word. Living. Doing what is inside the scripture. Living according to the Bible. You get my point, my friends. This is so important. And that's the reason why I say many people in the church are just believers. They're not disciples. So what we need to do in these days is to make people disciples. Disciples. And that's what even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28. We know that when Jesus was sending people to the world, when he was ascended to heaven, he was ascending to heaven, he was talking to the people, his disciples, the Great Commission we see. And verse 19. Chapter 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, Jesus is asking his disciples not to make believers, but he is asking his disciples to make disciples. So that's the responsibility of the church. And that's why I truly believe that is the reason why we have church. And in the church, a believer is becoming a disciple. You get my point? And it is clearly written, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And how can you make them disciples? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I give an emphasis for the word all. Because in these days, we are not teaching all that Jesus has commanded. We teach some easy things. We are always for a discount. See, even we are always looking where we get things at a discount price. That, but I tell you, Jesus never sell anything on discount. You get my point? Maybe you'll get something in the Goodwill store, but you know it's not guaranteed. It's you have a discount, but it is not guaranteed, right? But if you buy something from Jesus, or, you know, when you receive something from Jesus, he's asking for a full price. Full price, but it is guaranteed. You understand? It is guaranteed. It is for full price. So in these days when we preach that you need to live just according to the teachings of Jesus and there is no discount, and you need to obey all that I have commanded. That's what Jesus says, that you need to teach them to observe all that I have commanded. But how many of you are eagerly seeking what is the real teachings of Jesus and how can I observe all that I have commanded? Everywhere we need a discount. Everywhere we are looking for something lesser than what the Bible asks. But now I say, my friends, it is high time to look for the full revelation of God and the full teachings of Jesus. We need to submit ourselves for the exact teachings of Jesus, and we need to take a decision that I will live. I will live the full life. As Jesus said, I came here so that they can have life and life abundantly. I want to live the full life. Full life means not the material things I'm saying. This is my prayer that when I'm in this world, Jesus, I want to see that I'm completely obeying you. And this is what the church should teach the people. No question of compromise with the world. Completely we need to obey God. And all the teachings, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. My friends, are you ready to obey all that Jesus has commanded? That's the thing. So it is difficult. It is difficult. I'm not saying that it is easy. I've taken classes in a church for 4 days about Christian living. At the end of the day, before I was finishing my message, the pastor stood up and asked me a question. It's not now, maybe 30 years back. And he was asking me a question. He's a pastor for many years and he's running a big church. And the church was a big church. And he said, Sajo, I know that what you say, it's all biblical. But let me ask you, is it practical? I appreciate that man because he had the humility to ask that question. Because I don't think many of the pastors will ask such a question. Normally, the pastors would think or act as if, okay, I'm living like this. I have called this guy so that he may preach to my congregation. No, this pastor was asking the question. I said, Pastor, let me tell you one thing. You accept it is biblical, right? Yes, I know. This is what Jesus taught. I said, why we are having this doubt? It's because we are far from the ideal stage. You get my point? If you ask me to jump from here, maybe 1 meter long, I will say, yeah, let me try. Because it's only 1 meter or maybe 2 meters. Maybe if it is 2 meters, I will say, I think I can. If it's 1 meter, I will jump. If it is 2 meters long, maybe I will say, okay, let me try. But if you are asking me to jump 50 meter long, then I will never try it. Because I know that it is impossible. Right? This is exactly what is happening now. When we speak about true spirituality, when we speak about the teachings of Jesus, people say, no, I cannot go, I cannot reach that stage. But I told the pastor, Pastor, maybe you cannot jump, or I cannot jump, but I can walk step by step. Okay? You get my point? Yes, I'm walking. I want to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And I'm walking. I take an effort. I know that I have not reached there, but I am on the way. I will never look at the target and say, oh, it's too far, so I'm not going. I'm standing here. I will never say that. Get me, my friends? So when the devil says, I'm sure, 100% sure that it is the devil who says that biblical living is not practical. It is the lie of the devil. And he has taught this lie to almost all the church. Nowadays, we are not even trying to live a holy life because we think it is impossible. And we have accepted it. And even the churches have accepted it. One of my friends, he was preaching in a church and he said, God wants us to live like Jesus. And he said, you know, if Jesus was here, how he would live. And God wants us to live like that. If Jesus was working in an office, how he would work. And God wants you to work like that. If Jesus was here, if he was doing a business, how he would do the business. And God wants you to do the thing, do your business in such manner. And many of the people who were in the church, they were all business people. And they were looking at this man who preached like this. Hey, if I'm doing business like Jesus would do the business, then what is the need for doing business? Because I may not be able to make all these profits by playing all the game. And they were stunned. And then the pastor came. This is something literally happened. And the pastor came and said, you heard what Brother Giorgio said. This is exactly what the Bible says. I tell you, my friends, maybe you cannot live like that, but we need to try. And the pastor declared that you cannot live like that. So we have accepted this lie, saying that this living is not for us. But I tell you, my friends, no, this is what the Bible says. You need to live like Jesus. Not in 1 minute or 1 second. That's the reason why I say maybe I cannot jump. But I can walk. I can walk. Amen? But we need to have an effort for taking it. You know, when I was 18 years old, when I was studying in college, one old guy, an old man, I respect him very much. I call him Appachan. And he looked at me and said, Saju, I'm so sad. I was asking him, why you are sad? He was a retired professor. And he said, Saju, I'm sad because I have not yet become like Jesus. I said, I'm not sad. Hey, why? God wants you to live like Jesus, right? I said, yes. Do you live like Jesus? I said, I don't think so. Then why are you not sad? I told him, Appacha, a 10-story building, if I want to climb without using the lift, maybe it will take 10 minutes. At 2 minutes, I will not cry and saying, oh, I'm not at the top of the building. Maybe I'm on the second floor. But it's only 2 minutes. I'm walking. I'm climbing. Okay? So I will be sad if I am still in the ground floor even after 2 minutes because I did not take an effort. I will be sad if I'm going down because God wants me to, or, you know, my target is on the top of that building. So strive to live like Jesus. Take an effort to live like Jesus. Jesus says, clearly said, that you need to obey all that I have commanded you. All. Don't ask for, what do you say, a discount. And then you become a disciple. A disciple is a person who is following Jesus. You are becoming a disciple not when you have reached that point. No, you are not like Jesus. But you know, a disciple is following Jesus in every step. Every step. And Jesus said one more thing. You know, as I told, it's a long sermon, but I don't have much time. So I tell you, Jesus said, if you will become my disciples when you obey or, you know, abide in my word. See, so Jesus said to the Jews, if you abide in my word or live in my word, you shall truly become my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth. The knowledge here is not intellectual knowledge. The knowledge here is experiential knowledge. There are different kinds of knowledge. One is acquired knowledge. Acquired knowledge is the knowledge our previous generation has already acquired. I'm just getting information about knowledge. I sometimes tell the people, many times, you know, we say, oh, this generation, they are so intelligent and they have more knowledge than us. No, they have more information than us. Sometimes I think, you know, the older generation was they were more intelligent than the new generation. But they have acquired knowledge, and these people, you know, they get information. Most of the time, the younger generation are trying to be informed. Information and knowledge are two different things. You get my point? And they are adding. Every generation is adding to the acquired knowledge. And we are getting it by learning it. And experiential knowledge is something more. Experiential knowledge. Take the case of, I used to tell that when Jesus was in this world, he knew everything. Knew everything means, you know, he knew what kind of pain a young man will have if his hands are pierced with a big nail. He knew that in his knowledge, but he experienced it only when the nail went through his hands. Experiencing. Likewise, we know many things about God. When you read Bible, of course, you will know many things about God. But you know what happens? If you abide in the Word, naturally Jesus promises that you will know the truth. And what is the real truth? It is Jesus. You get me, my friends? He is the truth. And I understand the truth, Jesus, not just in words. I understand the truth in Jesus. I experience him. Jesus is not a religious idea to me. He's so real, and I experience him. I touch him. I see him. The knowledge the knowledge the disciples had when John speaks about in his epistle, he says that that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have touched with our hands, and we experienced, right? So you start experiencing Jesus. And John says, oh, we are unique people because we could touch Jesus. You cannot do that because you are not close to Jesus. Like, no, he said, I'm writing all these things so that you may have fellowship with us. What does it mean? Even you can touch Jesus. Even you can see Jesus. You can experience Jesus. That's what John says. So Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth. Jesus becomes yours. It was 44 years back I accepted Jesus. And that day onwards, the very same day I accepted Jesus, I'm with my Bible. I'm with my Bible. And I experience Jesus. That gives me strength. I know Jesus. And Jesus is power for me. And the next thing that we read here, I tell you, I tell it very fast. When Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, the truth, Jesus, will set you free. And these people were saying, what do you say? We are not slaves. That itself is a lie. Because that time they were slaves to the Rome, right? But they said, no, we are not slaves. Then how can you say that we will become free when we abide in your word? And Jesus said, you are not free. Truly, truly, I say to you, verse 34, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You're not free because you practice sin. You cannot come out of sin. You are a slave to sin. The biggest slavery for mankind It's not political slavery. It is not economic slavery. It is not commercial slavery. It is not cultural slavery. Nothing like that. The biggest slavery any man have is the slavery to sin. In slavery, you know what happens? The master is commanding and the slave is obeying. That is slavery. This is exactly what happens in the case of sin. The master, sin, commands. The sin asks you to smoke. You do not want to smoke. Well, you know, you're smoking. The master asks you to commit adultery. You want to come out of it, but you are falling into it. The master is asking you watch porn. You don't want to do that, but you are a slave. The master asks you to be angry with people, shout at people, and gnash your teeth. And we never want to do that, but we are doing it. We are angry with people. We are shouting at people. The master is asking you to hate your brother. Tell bad things about your brother. You don't want to do that, but you're doing it. Including, I'm not just talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about people inside the church. That is slavery. And many believers are slaves to sin. Okay? But Jesus says, if you experience me, if you know the truth, if you experience me by abiding in my word, the truth will make you free. You will get freedom from sin. This is what Jesus offers to anybody. I tell you, my friends, nowadays we say everybody sins. Now, we are generalizing things. Why did you do that? Everybody is doing it. Right? We need to accept that I'm a slave to that sin. If you're continuously angry with somebody, or you know, you are making noise in your home, shouting at your wife or your husband, that's sin. And you're a slave to sin. You need to come out of it. And I tell you, how can you come out of it? Only by knowing Jesus, experiencing Jesus, allowing him to live in us. You know what Paul says in Romans chapter 7? You know that he says, the wretched man I am, I'm a slave to sin. But he said, I give thanks to the Lord because of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because that Christ gives me freedom from sin. Yes, my friend, I tell you, you need freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from sinful habits. Earlier, we were always preaching these kind of things outside the church. But now it is high time to preach even these things inside the church. Because we have come to a stage where we are accepting all these things. No. It's time for repentance. It's time for us to tell Jesus, I want to come out of my sinful nature. I am a slave to my anger. I'm a slave to porn. I'm a slave to this, that. Because, you know, I'm a counselor. I'm getting hundreds of mails and calls asking me to pray for their, from believers, about their sinful nature. I tell you, this day, I just want to tell you, bow before God and say, Lord, I need a deliverance. I'm a believer. I have been a believer for a long time, but I have not become a true disciple by enjoying the freedom in Jesus Christ. What is the freedom? The freedom from sin. We say that I'm free. We say that I'm born again. We say that I'm a church goer, and I'm saying a lot of things. But I tell you, my friends, these are not the questions I'm asking, whether you're going to the church, whether you have taken baptism, whether you speak in tongues. These are not the things that matter. Are you free from your sin? Maybe you're a believer. But this day I ask you, tell Jesus, I want freedom from my sins. And you will get freedom only when you know the truth. And how can you know the truth? Only by abiding in His Word or living in His Word. Close your eyes. Lord, we come to your presence and we really want to see that, Lord, we are enjoying freedom from our sins, O God. Lord, we were believers, we know that, but Lord, we want to become true disciples. And if we need to become true disciples, we know that we need to abide in your word, O God. We surrender ourselves for the commandments. It is not for discount. We are ready to obey it completely, O God. We are ready to pay the full price. Help us to live this. And Lord, we want to enjoy the freedom from our slavery. Help us, God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to do that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.